As I said before, we're really in the middle of our a series on the doctrinal statement of the church. We're wanting to share with you who we are, what we believe, and that's what doctrine means. It means a belief, what we believe. And so today, following on from last week, Raph talked about the creation and the fall of mankind. We are going to be looking at salvation. If I can just grab that PowerPoint up, mate, the statement on our website that you can see and anyone can see about what we believe is this: that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ brings salvation by grace through faith to those who repent, seek forgiveness and believe in him. So today we're really just expanding on that statement about who we are, what we believe. Salvation, the Greek word is soteria, and it means to rescue, or it speaks of a deliverance. And I think if you were to walk down the street and ask 10 different people, what does salvation mean? We probably get 10 different answers. Definitely aligned with something religious. Perhaps you go to church regularly. It could be that you do good things and so you're going to earn your way to heaven. One thing that I hear, that I have heard is, saved from what? I don't need to be saved. There's nothing for me to be saved from. And thinking about that, that response is actually an important question. Because if salvation is from God, and God is our rescuer, God is our rescuer and our deliverer, what do we need deliverance from? What do we need to be rescued from? And Raph shared that problem last week. The problem is sin. And it's been the problem between humanity and our Creator God since the very beginning of time. Romans 23:23 says, all have sinned. Every single person has sinned and falls short of God's glory. We all have missed the mark of God's holiness, his perfect standard. No one is born and naturally lives holy and perfect as God. And that's our problem. That's what we need a rescue from. That's where we need deliverance. And this doctrine of salvation that we believe in, this statement, it is the heartbeat of Christianity. It is the centre of our mission and our purpose. It's the good news that we proclaim individually and as a church in this community. And so I want to make 4 points this morning about salvation from God's word. And the first is this, that Christ's death secures salvation. It is the foundation for salvation. Acts 10:43 says, to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The foundation of salvation, this rescue that we need, has happened at the cross of Jesus Christ. Without the death on the cross, there is no gospel. Without the thing that we remembered this morning, Jesus Christ giving his life, there is no forgiveness, there is no salvation. All have sinned. We're all in the same position, separated from God. And Romans 6:23 says the penalty for that sin, the penalty is death. But here's the good news. Jesus stepped in and paid the penalty. You see, at the cross, the justice of God for the penalty of sin, which is death, the justice hasn't been forgotten about. The justice is met with the grace and the mercy of God through Jesus. And God has made one way to be made right with him, and that is through faith in Jesus as Saviour and Lord. Both grace and mercy are critical in understanding salvation.
Because we can have circumstances where we experience mercy, but there is no grace. Or we experience grace, but there is no mercy. Because mercy is to not receive that which we actually deserve. That is mercy. Grace is we do receive what we don't deserve. We've nearly been married 20 years, Rach and I, so this story, and I think I have told it before, but it always comes to mind when I think about grace and mercy. This is when we were dating, so this is obviously more than 20 years ago. Rachel's the parents still live in the same house in the back of Greensboro, and I was leaving their house, it was close to midnight, heading back to my mum and dad's house on the other side of Greensboro. And of course I took the quick drive through Macca's on the way home. So instead of turning right, I turned left and headed to Macca's. And I was sitting at the lights, there's no one around. This red arrow, and I'm like, why is it red? There's no one around, I'm sitting here, why doesn't it just go green? And in that moment of sheer impatience, I took a right through the red light because no one was around. But of course, just that moment, as I put my foot on the accelerator and turned the wheel and went through that red light, you know, in Greensboro, the traffic comes from near the hotel there and it comes around the bend, and that police car just came around the bend and saw me just in the middle of the intersection. I couldn't believe it. Why did I need McDonald's? And so I pulled into the McDonald's car park, and the police car came in behind me. And you know that feeling of when the lights go on, like in the siren, and it's just like it's sinking. And I wound the window down, and I just heard a voice say, "Josh, is that you?" I couldn't believe it. I don't know any police officers. Oh, hang on. Yes, I do. The next door neighbour of Rachel's parents. His name is also Stuart, same as Rachel's. I'd only met him a couple of times, but it had been recently. And he was on duty that night, and he was the one who turned the court. Oh, that's amazing. So he didn't give me a fine. He spoke to me and we were talking. He said, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I just left Rachel's place. I'm starving." And he didn't give me a fine. He wasn't gracious to me. He was merciful. Because what I deserved was a $350 red light fine and 3 demerit points. That's what I deserved. I didn't get that. If he was gracious as well, maybe he would have given me a $500 credit for future fines or something. I didn't get that. But what I did receive was his mercy. I didn't receive what I deserved. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. And what you experience in being saved is God's mercy and God's grace. Mercy because what you deserve is the penalty, which is death. You won't receive that. But you'll also experience grace because with your faith decision in Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, God now looks at you through the shed blood of Jesus. And you are seen as forgiven before the Almighty God. And His grace says you are forgiven. So you do receive, it's not just mercy at the cross. It's not just about what we don't get, what we deserve. It's about what we do get. We are forgiven. We receive the Holy Spirit, God living in us, empowered to live a life that is pleasing to Him, to change the way that we think and the way that we live. We get a purpose that is for this life. We get a hope which is certain for eternity in the very presence of God. That is the mercy and the grace. The list goes on about our identity in Christ. Being part of a church life of like-minded believers to encourage one another, to use our spiritual gifts. Merciful and gracious God, crucial to understanding salvation. Point two, Christ's resurrection. The resurrection of Christ guarantees salvation. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." If Christ had only died and all we did was think about his death, the bread and the cup, his body and his blood that was shed, that's all that there was, just death, there is no salvation. But in the resurrection of Christ, we are made right with a holy God. In his death, the price is paid. In his resurrection, we are made right. That's what Romans 4:25 says. It says, Jesus was delivered over to death for our sin and was raised to life for our justification. So we are only justified, we are only made right with God because Jesus is alive. And the resurrection shows that sin and death have been defeated. Sin and death no longer have the final say, the final word in our life. Because Jesus rose from the grave, I no longer live under the power of sin. I live in the victory of Christ. I have to acknowledge what sin is. I have to acknowledge that I am a sinner. But I live every day forgiven. I live every day empowered by the Holy Spirit to be different, to be transformed and changed. Will I be perfect in this life? Will you be perfect? Absolutely not. But what we have is a taste of what is to come. What we have through the Holy Spirit is a deposit of what is to come in fullness. Right now we are being transformed and renewed to be like Jesus. But when Jesus comes again, we will experience a new body, holy and perfect, where there will be no more sin in the very presence of God for eternity. The death and resurrection of Jesus, foundational to understanding salvation. Two more points. Salvation comes through repentance and faith. We've spoken about what God has done through Jesus, his death and resurrection. And though salvation is free, salvation must be received. Just like any gift, it's not yours and it's no good to you until you actually receive it. Just because I tell you I've got a gift for you, it is useless to you until you receive it. And the scripture is clear, this gift from God, it is received through repentance and faith. Repentance comes from this Greek word, metanoia. And it literally means to change your mind. It is a transforming of the mind. If you go to the Gospel of Mark, the very first words that Jesus is recorded saying, now I know he said words before this, but in the Gospel of Mark, these are the first words. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. And this is what Jesus says, "The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent. Metanoia. And believe the good news. Change your mind. Transform yourself. And one of the very last things Jesus is recorded saying in the Gospel of Luke in 24:47, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And we see that if you go to the beginning of Acts, the beginning of the church, it's Peter's message, repent. Repent, that's what he's talking about. Repent and believe. 3,000 added that day. I fear many people have said, I want to go to heaven. And in moments, many people have said, okay, I'll be a Christian because I want to go to heaven. But have never heard or never experienced or acknowledged repentance. To repent is to acknowledge what sin is, recognize that I am that, I am a sinner, that is true of me. And as I believe by faith that Jesus died, he paid the price for my sin, but he also rose again. And so there is a way to be made right with God. And so as I acknowledge what sin is, and I recognize that I am a sinner, and I make this, I believe by faith that this is real. Jesus did die. Jesus did rise again. I choose to surrender my life to Jesus, in order that my life would reflect the character of who Jesus is. That I would start to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, not pleasing to the culture around me. And this sort of decision is always going to require change. Firstly, it is a change in our mind. It is a change about the way that we think. Who do we live for? How do I think about other people? What do I think about relationships? What's my stance on moral issues? How do I think about God's word? And the change of mind, the metanoia, the change of mind will transform the way that we live. That is salvation. And you only need to make that decision by faith in Jesus once. But this new life is a journey. This new life in Christ with God living in us is a journey. We are not perfect. We are still sinners. But we live in victory. I am forgiven. God does have a purpose for me today. He does know all things. Circumstances are hard right now, but I trust in God. Because what is to come is far greater than anything I can go through in this life right now. So you can sense the difference that a whole bunch of people who have experienced this salvation, the difference that a whole bunch of these people should have on a community. And of course that's why I ask myself, as we should ask ourselves individually and as a church, does it stand out in my workplace, in my school, in my home, in my sporting clubs, in the people I gather with? Our unity as God's people, our care and love and support for the poor and the orphans and the widows. Our stance on moral issues and sexuality and marriage? Does it stand out? Are we different from the culture around us? As followers of Jesus, our desire, both individually and as a church, is not just to see people know about Jesus, or just to come along and attend a church service. But as followers of Jesus, we need to be thinking that people need to repent. Repentance is important. It's crucial to salvation. Without repentance, there is no salvation. Without faith, there is no salvation. They are the doorway to salvation. Lastly, a point about salvation that we believe is that it makes us children of God forever. John 10:27-28, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. When we repent and when we believe in Jesus by faith, God saves us completely and eternally. We are forgiven and our body becomes the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit to transform the way that we think and change the way that we live to be more like Jesus. That decision for salvation, as I said, it doesn't need to happen over and over again. That decision just needs to happen once in our life, for God to come into our life and to start to change us. Romans 8:15 says, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons and daughters by whom we cry, Abba, Father. Salvation is adoption into the family of God. God calls us his own. We belong to him. I have permission to tell the story. My sister, Kim, who some of you will know, she was here a long, long time ago, but my sister Kim and her husband Paul have had five boys, five sons. Most of them are grown up now as adults. I think maybe 7 years, 6-7 years ago, maybe a little bit longer, they started to foster care, and they started in that system. They received a little girl who, her name is Charlie, and she had the most horrific beginning to life. Her parents were drug addicts, there was domestic violence, and both were in jail. And Charlie and her siblings, I don't know her siblings, but I know Charlie, were in the foster care system. And for a number of years, Paul and Kim were part of that caring system for this young girl. About 5 years ago, there was a decision made to adopt Charlie. Not just be part of the foster system, but actually bring Charlie into my sister and her husband's family. It is, well, I don't know about all the rest, I've never experienced anything like this, but it is seemed to be an incredibly difficult process. A lot of time, it went to court, there are all sorts of things happening. But eventually it happened, and so Charlie became Charlie Tui. Her name was changed. So I didn't even know what her surname was before that. She is my niece. She is my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law and my sister, their daughter. They don't see her any different to their five sons. She is their daughter. She goes to the same private school in Ballarat where her brothers went. She eats at the same table. She lives in the same house. She is everything a part of that family that every other child they have had is. Salvation brings us into a new relationship status with God. We are adopted into God's family. And everything that God makes available to his children, to people who belong to him, is now made available to you. All the blessings and privileges of belonging to God are made available to each and every one of us. Not after 1 year, not after 3 years, 50 years, immediately. Adopted into the family of Christ. Salvation is not dependent on our feelings or our performance. It rests wholly in God's eternal promise through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is sealed in every believer by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come and go when we stuff up. No, sealed by the Holy Spirit who lives within us forever. Until we pass away or until Jesus comes again. And as the children of God, adopted into his family, we should never live in fear of losing salvation. We should always live with the confidence that nothing can separate us from the love of God, as Romans 8, 38, 39 says. Jesus Christ died for our sins, rose from the dead to have victory over sin and death. And by God's mercy, we are not facing what we deserve. And by his grace, salvation is a free gift and everything that comes along with it. And it is received by every person through repentance and by faith that we would become eternal children of God. The gift is available. But the question is, have you received it? And this morning, in this place, the gift is available to you right now. But have you received it? Have you accepted it? Salvation is offered. The work has been done. It's a gift for you that won't just impact your life today and onwards, but for eternity. Jesus says in John 5:24, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. They do not come into judgment, but will pass from death to life. Father in heaven, we do thank you that you have made a way through Jesus to be made right with you. God, there is no other way. We can't earn it. We can't buy it. And we don't deserve it. But thank you, by your grace, we are given it. Challenge us today if we have never made that decision. That maybe today we don't leave this place to repent and to change and to accept Jesus as Saviour and Lord. Move in our hearts, God, that we would be bold with this message of the gospel. As we go from this place into our communities, that we would see people won for you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.